Hello, I'm Mike Salem. For years, my dad, Pastor Salem, faithfully preached God's word and pointed people to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Through the ministry of the Christian Worship Hour, his teaching continues to bring biblical truth and encouragement to listeners everywhere. From Iowa, we heard, Pastor Salem had a special way of saying the right things to help you feel better. He made me a better person and taught me how to forgive others. From Massachusetts, I enjoy hearing a pastor so in love with Jesus. Pastor is such an inspiration. Thank you for continuing his messages. And from a website comment, you blessed me and encouraged me in my financial stress that I'm going through with your broadcast of peace and joy. Now, I want to introduce today's sermon, The Saintly Captive, where Dad tells the story of Daniel, one of the great Old Testament saints whose unwavering faith and victories over temptation continue to inspire us to stand strong for God today. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and the Lord has just tarried another week. One of these weeks, he's going to come, and the trumpet's going to sound. Dead in Christ will be raised first, and oh, my gracious, will that be a wonderful time. We'll all gather together in heaven, all who know the Lord. And it's our prayer that you'll, if you don't know Jesus personally, that during the service, you'll make that prayer, ask him into your heart. We're going to be talking about Daniel, the godly Daniel, and it's especially a good message for young people, but it's good for all of us, so we'll just give it to the Lord and study about this godly man. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build upon thy throne to all generations. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great promise you've given to David, that that throne of David is going to be, you're going to sit on that throne in Jerusalem sometime and just be there forever because you were dead and you are alive and you will never die again. So we just pray that you bless us and help us as we look into your word and draw strength as we look at the man Daniel. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb's going to start us out today with a song, If We Never Meet Again. And God bless you, Barb.
Soon we'll come to the end of life's journey, and perhaps we'll never meet anymore till we gather in heaven's bright city, far away from that beautiful shore. If we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven by the side of the river of life, where the charming roses bloom forever and where separations come no more. If we never meet again this side of heaven, I will meet you on this beautiful shore. They say that we shall meet by the river, where no storm clouds sky. And they say we'll be happy in heaven, in that wonderful sweet by and by. If we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world that is strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven by the side of the river of life, where the charming roses bloom.
For that day when we'll meet the Lord. But you know, you have to have Jesus. Jesus says there's only one way to heaven, one way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the way to heaven and the way to God is through a person, through Jesus. And you just ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins and forsake your evil ways, whatever is wrong in your life, we turn against them and follow Jesus. And then we'll get to heaven, we'll see each other. That'll be so wonderful. And there's so many people we hear from and we can't get to see them now. But when that time comes and God takes us home, we'll get to see them face to face. And I am so excited about meeting so many of you. We just can't hardly wait, but I guess we have to. Well, we have some letters. We always have letters. And by the way, our scripture is going to be from Daniel chapter 6, if you want to locate it. We're going to be studying about Daniel, godly Daniel. And he leaves so many good lessons for us, and especially for young people. So you can find that. But we're looking, for instance, now at all of our letters. And we thank you for writing. And we get letters, people saying, we enjoy the letter so much because it's like the family. And we're knowing what they're thinking, what they're asking, what's happening with them. And then we can pray for these people. One lady says she jots the things down as we read them off. And she prays for them. So, the letters are important. So our first letter is from Spencer, Iowa. And this lady writes, my husband watched your broadcast faithfully. He was not able to go to church. He enjoyed the teaching and was grateful for your emphasis on getting to know Jesus. On April 10th, he went home to see Jesus. Please send me a copy of A Heart of a Shepherd, Yours in Christ. And this copy, this is A Heart of a Shepherd, is a film that we have. It's 52 minutes long. And it presents coming to Jesus, how to come to Jesus. And we hear from people who watch this film and then ask Jesus to come into their hearts. We send that out on a free will offering basis. And so if you don't have anything, we just write and we'll send it anyway. So get your pencil and paper, and then in a few minutes we'll give you the address. Here's Council Bluffs, Iowa. This is a gentleman, and he writes, a poll showed 23% of our people do not believe and have no religion. I wonder how many more it would be if it were not made, if had not been made in your life's work, telling people how to bring them to Jesus to them. I would be one of them. Thanks to you. And so here's a gentleman rejoicing because he's come to a saving name, saving grace through Jesus Christ, and have become a child of God. And we're going to see him in heaven. Watertown, South Dakota. Please send me 2 copies of Heart of a Shepherd. It was shown at my church, Prairie Lakes Baptist Church, and then taken to Midwest Bible Camp. I want to give others to my children's pastors to show at their churches. And so we're happy to do that. And anytime you want to have it for a church or you want to use it maybe in a retirement or home, we'll send them free and postpaid if you want to show it to your congregation, to your people there. And we hear from many how really have a blessing from seeing this picture of a boy, 10 years old, accepted Jesus and became a follower of the Lord, became a pastor. Here's Overland Park, Kansas. And this person writes and says, you remind me of my father and his brothers. I also have aunts, but we are related some way. I watch you once in a while, and my wife and I decided to take this Sunday off from going to church. We are very involved with the church, but I would love to learn more about you and your ministry. We turned you on, and my wife and I enjoyed hearing teaching from the Bible, not having a show. If you will please send me the DVD of Heart of a Shepherd, I can learn more about you. I would appreciate it. And so we're glad to do this. And by the way, some people say, well, I wish I knew more about your ministry. And we have a website, a nice website. It's ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's pictures of our musicians and some of our workers. There are devotions on there. There's sermons on there. It's just a wonderful history of our ministry of over 40 years. And you can get that. Just get on the website, ChristianWorshipHour.com. Let me see. Here's from Wisconsin, Amory, Wisconsin. My mom does a Christian movie night at her church in Amory, Wisconsin. I'd love to get a copy for her to share with everyone. And so we send a free will. We send one of the films, and was glad to do that, and glad that anybody will show this to other people, because just by watching the film, they can come to know Jesus. We have illustrations of people that heard the message, and that's why the film was made, is so that people could come to know Jesus personally. And you have to know him personally. You have to ask him into your heart. He'll never come in. He stands at the door and knocks in Revelation 3, verse 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. If any person opens that door, I will come in. But he'll never come in unless you ask him in. So that could just be the way. It's just open to all people. Some people say, oh, I've got so many sins. I don't think God would ever forgive me those sins. But God says that Paul says he was a chief of sinners. God saved him, and he'll save you if you just come to him and turn from your sins, walk with Jesus. Here's in Texas, Spring Branch, Texas, and they send memorial for the Passover and altar calls. And I thought, that isn't that two wonderful pictures of the church? Passover talks about the Lamb of God and how he was slain, and the blood was applied in the doorpost. And when the death angel came through Egypt that night, he was looking for one thing. He was looking for the blood. He wasn't looking for the good-looking people. He wasn't looking for the nice people, the morally good people. He was just looking for the blood. And if the blood is applied, we are safe. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And it has the power to forgive sin all over the world. This wonderful, wonderful Jesus who went to the cross. And we're told that without the remission of sins, that there, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And Jesus paid it all. Let me see, Saratoga, Arizona. I never found a church I felt welcomed at. I always told myself, it was okay because God was in my heart and I knew I had him by myself. But it did not hurt not having a church to worship him. Then one day I came along your service on TV and spoke to me. I just want to say thank you for helping me grow closer to God. It hasn't been easy for life for me, but a very blessed one. Well, you know, as far as the church is concerned, God tells us we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You should gather in the church. And when you get to church, let me tell you two things you should do. The first thing you go, you see if they're preaching the Bible. Now, some churches preach it and some people don't. And that's just their choice how they want to minister. But you go where the Bible is preached and honored. And then when you do that, then you see what you can do to help the church. Don't see what you can go. You're going what you can get out of it, but see what you can give and how you can help the brethren. But if you can go to church, you ought to be in church. And you ought to worship with us too. You can do both things. And that's just all the better. You'd be all the stronger in the Lord. Here's Alford, Iowa. Thanks for the work you do. My family and I regularly attend our church, so you're on our snowstorm/sickness service. Sorry, we close out the evening with family devotions, which includes a new song, a wonderful way to end the day. God blesses us with his blessings. Please send us the new song. Well, the new song is a little Bible study, and we have a new Bible study each month. This month, it's on the Good Shepherd, Jesus the Good Shepherd, and it's free and postpaid if you just write to us and get your pencil and paper ready. I'm about ready to give you the verse or give you the address. But if you write to us, we'll be glad to send you this. And every month, it's a different study. Why I know I'm going to heaven, and one is on God's eye is always on us, and it's just nice little studies. Sometimes they use it for evening devotions, sometimes in Sunday school, sometimes just people have it in their Bible and read it. It's a little short Bible study. I know it'll be a blessing. And then one more we want to share, and that is in Louisville, Kentucky. Christian Worship Hour helped me strengthen by my faith in God. And I'll tell you why it helps, while the Christian Worship Hour, why it helps strengthen your faith in God. The secret is we preach the Bible. Get all the Bible into it you can, because that's the Word of God. And that Word of God will minister to you, and the ministry, it'll help you. It'll help you come, it convict you of your sins, so you come to Jesus. And then after you know Jesus, then it'll give us comfort, and it gives us peace, gives us strength. I'm not saying you'll all get rich, but you'll all have peace and comfort in your heart and soul. It's the Bible, the wonderful Word of God. So now if you want to help us with the ministry, and if you want to get the film or you want to get the Bible study, you write to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want a new song, you just say you'd like to have the new song. And if you want a little film, you tell us that. But then if you like to help us with the work, we need to pay our way just like anybody else. And, you know, the Christian Worship Hour is not supported by a denomination or an organization or some institution. We are supported fully by God's people. We just tell God's people, now what you need to do is ask God if this is some work that you think he wants you to support and help. And then if he does, then you say, fine, I'll do it, Lord. What should I send? And you can do that all over the world. We got a gift not long ago from Norway. And you just get christianworshiphour.com, and there's a place where you can make a donation, and you'll make it in your currency, and we'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. And for 40 years, that's the way we've lived. We're just telling God's people of our need, and God speaks to his people. And we'll carry on to the glory of God. And I know what some people are saying. There's a lot of times the husbands, they kind of have to watch that money or figuring it all. And they say, well, how do I know what they're going to spend it on? Maybe they're going to go and have a big dinner and celebrate a big dinner. Maybe they'll buy a home with this money, get a lot of money. How do I know? And so I can tell you for sure you can know. We are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books every year. Every penny we take in, every penny we spend. And it's all above board and it's all sound, so you don't need to worry. Every penny goes exactly as our budget calls for. And it's all for the proclamation of the gospel. So I hope you'll help us. And I want to give the address one more time. And this is especially for our shortwave people. We reach 95% of the world's population. And they don't have a screen to watch. So here's our number. It's Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now here's the way we take our offering. I'll say a little prayer. Jan is going to play some beautiful music. And then you give as the Lord leads, and the way we'll go. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. Well, we're reading from Daniel chapter 6. And Daniel has defied the king and worshiped his true God, and he's going to be cast into the den of lions. And that's what we're going to read about Daniel chapter 6, beginning with the 16th verse. And then in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Colombia. And all over the world, we'll be praying for the people, our brothers and sisters in Colombia. Daniel 6, beginning with the 16th verse. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it in his own signet, and with the signet of the Lord's, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, is he able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and angels and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceeding glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story that took place centuries ago and in Old Testament times. And yet today it cheers us and encourages us when we see this young man, Daniel, serving in the king's courts, and he absolutely refuses to bow his knee to the false gods and is put in that den. And God, you sent an angel, and they watched over him, and that those lions couldn't touch him. Thank you for this wonderful God that we have, that all of creation obeys you. The wind and the waves obey you. The animals in the forest and the sea, fish in the sea, all of creation obeys you because you are God. You, the one who created it and hold it together, by you it consists. And we thank you. We have such a great God. And Lord, in our prayer this morning, we want to think about our brothers and sisters in Colombia. And so many of them have given their life, and so many are suffering for you now. And Lord, we think of the children, little children separated from their parents, maybe see their parents put to death. Who knows what the devil will do? And so we just pray that you say, I know, Lord, you will help them. You will never leave them or forsake them. And some of them, Lord, worship with us on shortwave radio all over the world, and they know we're praying for them. And we want them to know that they are an encouragement to us. And when we hear of their stand for the Lord, it helps us to make a stand for the Lord. And so just bless them. And someday they're going to wear a martyr's crown. And won't that be something beautiful? So, Lord, we give this all into your hands. And now we pray that you'll be satisfied and that you'll be able to bless the service to the many people, that there'll be people saved and Christians will be helped. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And now before the message, Melissa's going to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. So thank you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. Wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided.
Well, thank you, Melissa, and we're never tired of hearing of the faithfulness of God. He will never fail us, and that's the great thing of being a follower of Jesus Christ, is you can lean on Jesus, and he's always there, as we maybe fail him, but he'll never fail us. Well, we're going to talk about a man today. I love to preach about Daniel. And I just admire him. He's an Old Testament saint, of course. I admire him, and one reason I admire him is that he never retired. And I remember all my ministry. I started out preaching when I was 23, and always said that I didn't believe in retiring. And so Daniel was one of my examples. He stayed with it until God took him home, till he had his last breath. And he served the Lord in the king's courts when he was into his 90s. Don't know how old he was. As a matter of fact, he served under three different kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and Darius. Clarence McCartney writes so beautifully about Daniel. I want to read a passage that he gives us. And McCartney says, Daniel was a man greatly beloved of God and greatly admired of men. His life is an epic of moral courage, which alone makes men great. Daniel may be described as the most influential man of the Old Testament, for he has exerted more practical influence upon readers of the Bible, especially young men, than any other Bible character. Some Old Testament characters, such as David, teach us not only by their virtues, but by their sins, not only by their achievements, but by their fall. But Daniel inspires us by his victories over temptation. The gross sins which stain the lives of some of the greatest men of the Old Testament are totally wanting in the life of Daniel. Like Samuel, Daniel is one of the aristocrats of the Old Testament, a thoroughbred in every respect, one of those men who, however born and wherever stationed, bear unmistakable marks of intellectual and moral distinction. And so that's the man we want to look at today. Three things I want to point out about Daniel. First of all, Daniel suffered severe suffering strikes the saints. He's teaching us that you can be the most godly man in the world, but you can have severe sufferings that'll strike us. It seems that one so blameless and noble and devout would have no problems in this world. But it doesn't work that way. Daniel suffered immensely, and his troubles and trials were manifold. The sufferings of Daniel teach us at least three things. It teaches us, first of all, do not regard the present state as final. It will not always be dark and dreary. There are better days ahead. Sometimes good things happen in this life, and did for Daniel. He became one of the leaders of the entire nation, the entire kingdom. He was revered and he was respected by multitudes. Sometimes we see why things happened as they did, and sometimes we do not. And so when you come to the story of Daniel, we learn that we have an everlasting God. We are in his hands. And whether we're up or whether we're down, whether we have suffering or whether we have setback, it doesn't make any difference. God is going to see us through, and it's going to bring it to pass. One old pastor said that was his famous, most verse he liked the best in all the Bible, where it says, and it, he will bring it to pass. It's not always going to be this way. And maybe today you're having some hard times, some bitter times, some big setbacks. Maybe they just don't make sense. But just remember this, God says it's brought to pass. It's going to pass away. So just be brave, just be strong, be like Daniel, never give up. And as long as he lived, he never gave up. He served the Lord. Joseph, there was a man named Joseph who suffered greatly, but it was just for a season. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He was unjustly put in prison, innocent as the day is long. But his sufferings ended when he was exalted to the place of power next to the Pharaoh of Egypt. And so there was a time, and just stay with it, stand with it. And maybe it won't be anything great in this world. Maybe like some of our dear brothers and sisters in the persecuted church. There it doesn't last for all. God may just elevate them and take them into heaven, take them out of all of that grief and sorrow and trouble. God's going to have the last word. Lean upon him. Trust upon him. Look at Job. Job was a good man. Not only did the neighbors say he was a good man, but God says he was a good man. God says that Job was the most righteous man of his day. And you know the story of Job, but how did it end? Well, we find out that he had more at the beginning, more at the last than he did at the beginning. So as the old pastor put it, it says, and it came to pass. Don't regard the present state as final, but just believe it with the Lord. And just hang on, stay with it, and see it through. And then we need to be careful. We don't judge people's character by their circumstances. Just because a person is healthy, wealthy, affluent, and famous, and all of the rest, it does not mean that underneath that man, he may be selfish, and he may be hard, and he may be a very evil man. So we do not know. We do not know if these people have so much, whether they are people who are unselfish or whether they're humble or devout or godly, whatever it is. You can't judge people by what's happening. Look at Daniel, one of the most devout, strong men of the world. And look at him in the den of lions and how God closed their mouths. We cannot suppose that because a man is in dire need, that with the disease or with poverty or obscure among the lowest, we can't suppose that he's doing that because he's a bad man or an evil man. We have to be very careful because we don't know what is happening in the man's life. And so don't judge by outside character. When you look at Daniel, he was among the captives. He was taken captive out of Jerusalem into Babylon. And he was among the captives. It was dreadful circumstances. It looked like a criminal if ever there was one. And so he remained true. And Joseph was the same thing. Look at him when he was in accused by Potiphar's wife, and he's put into prison. He's put into a regular dungeon. And it looks like he's going to be forgotten and never, ever come out of it. But he raised up at the end time. So just stay. Daniel is saying, don't ever give up. Stay with it. Job is saying the same thing. He lost everything, his property, his family, his health, his reputation, everything. And yet he was a godly man because God said he was a godly man. So, friend, we can never tell the spiritual state of a person by the circumstances of life. One of the things with Job, he had one of his friends. He had three friends, and they came to tell him what he was doing wrong. That's why he was suffering. He was on the ash pile, had boils, and he'd lost everything. And they were thinking that because he was having troubles, he must have been very wicked, see? And so something happens to a person, they get really sick, and we thought, oh, must have had some secret sins we didn't know about. Well, there's lots of things you don't know about. So don't pass judgment on anybody. Look at Jesus. Look at how he suffered, and he had no sin, and he was absolutely perfect. And so watch out being judging other people. You can never tell the spiritual state of a person by the circumstances of life. People do it all the time, but we shouldn't be doing it. As a matter of fact, the book of Hebrews lists some of the great saints of the of the past. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it tells about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. The writer talks about these people and says, "And what shall we? And what more shall we say? For the time would fail to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and the prophets." And so here they are. They are great men of God being blessed and all of that. But you just read on in that 11th chapter of Hebrews. Just read on and you're going to find something. It says in 36th verse that some of these people, it's the same time, it's the same people, it's the Jewish people, it's the same period, the same area, the same country. And what do we read? "Others had the trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Moreover, on bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, of whom the world was not worthy." And yet they are the same people of God as Abel and Noah and Jonah and Sarah and all of the rest of them. Don't judge people's character by their circumstances. It's risky business. You could be so wrong. And then the third thing, don't be surprised when adversity falls us. God is careful to warn us. He tells us we're going to have setbacks. He tells us we're going to have troubles and trials. And I think of the people in the persecuted church. Jesus told us that we're going to have these trials and sufferings. He says in Matthew 5, verse 11, in that beautiful Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Again, Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers also suffer and go through troubles and trials. One more scripture about the same thing is John 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. And so to the persecuted church, but we have people in America. We have people all over the world who have troubles and trials and hardships. And take heart. God said that we're going to have to come into them. And you just because you have some great trial in your life doesn't mean that you've been God is punishing you for wickedness, because God doesn't do that. Because God tells us when we come to him, our sins are all washed away and taken away. He doesn't even remember our sins. Now, the effect of some of those sins might be, say, maybe a person is in liquor or something like that, and he ruins his and his liver is decimated, and he dies from that. That doesn't mean that God is punishing for him his sins. It's just the outcome of a sinful life. God never punishes us for sins that he forgives. He doesn't believe in double jeopardy. And so St. Peter warned us, don't worry when you have these troubles and trials, because God is going to have the victory. And so Daniel teaches us to carry on a strength, and then he tells us about how the strength of character can conquer us. Daniel was only a youth when he was taken into Babylon, and yet even as a young person, he stood true to the Lord. He stood true to God and his teachings. How did he do that? Well, there were at least four different things that happened. For one thing, he had a clean conscience. His mind was centered on God. He had the mind of Christ, even in the Old Testament. He had the mind of God. He obeyed his conscience, and he kept himself looking his eyes upon Jesus, upon God. And he and Jesus came, and he says, "Which of you convicteth me of sin?" So that Jesus had a perfect life, a perfect conscience. And that's what we have to do. If there's something that God lays upon you that's wrong, flee from it. Get away from it. If there's something he calls on you to do, do it. Have a clean conscience with God. And then another thing he did, he had carefully chosen companions. He had Hebrew friends, not pagan friends of Babylon. The Babylonians had a different God. They had a different lifestyle. They had different goals in life. They just didn't fit in with the life of walking with God. So he watched for his friends. And you young people watching today, you just watch out. You travel with those who have the same goals you have them that have the same God and have the same dedication. And if you pick out, like somebody says, if you run with the dogs, you're going to get fleas. And if you travel with the wrong crowd, it's going to rub off on you. Pick your friends carefully. Hence, that's what Daniel did. He was careful. He had the same God. He had friends that had the same God and the same goals and the same ideals and the same principles. And that's what we need today, young people, choosing the right kind of companions. And the third thing he did, he had continual communications with God. In Daniel's day, there were many dreams that had significance, and Daniel didn't have the Bible we did, but so God would speak to him sometimes in dreams. I don't put much stock in dreams today, but Daniel, in his day, he didn't have that Bible and all the rest, and so he had that communication with God. And what did he do? Every day, he would kneel at the window pointing toward Jerusalem, and he would pray to God. And so that's why we have a Bible now. We should read that Bible and we should pray. Try to do it in the morning. You don't know what you're going to run into that day. And find time in the morning. Get up a little bit earlier and get out and read that Bible and have that prayer. And don't let anybody keep you from it. Because that's what built Daniel's character. That's what made him so strong. That's what carried him through. He was continually talking to God. And I think so many times we get so busy and Daniel didn't have television. That's one thing in his favor. But he still, it didn't matter what he had. He set time aside for God every day. And then when they put out the challenge, if you worship any other God, you're going to be put to death. And Daniel could have said, well, God, if they see me praying in this window, they're going to put me to death. So if you don't mind, God, I'm going to get over in this corner here and I'm going to pray where they can't see me because you know my heart and my heart is right. But Daniel knew that he had to be a witness for God Almighty. And he got into that window and he never flinched a minute. And he took it all the way to the lion's den. But God watched over and carried him through. And maybe sometimes God doesn't carry us through. You remember the three Hebrew children, and they're going to be put into the fiery furnace. And they said, well, we're not going to worship your God. And our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And that the three Hebrews children said that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, well, God can spare us. But they weren't done talking yet. They said, God can spare us. But if not, if we're going to burn, we don't care. We'll never worship your idols. And so God many times can deliver us. Sometimes he doesn't, but God has the power and he's always there to help us and lean on him and trust in him. And the fourth thing that Daniel did was, to his credit, he gave God all the glory. When he was able to stand before the highest leader of the land and kingdom and reveal his kingdom and reveal his dreams and his visions and so forth, Daniel never took the credit to himself, but he would come in and he would tell the king exactly what his dreams meant, what his visions meant. He would interpret them for the king, but he always gave the glory to God. And that's what we've got to do. And when we take glory to ourselves, God is going to be angry with us. He says, my glory will I not share with another. And so be sure that we are humble people. And we don't think, oh boy, look what I'm doing and all of the great things. And we do some piddly little thing we think is so great. Give God the glory. All glory goes to God. And then finally, Daniel tells us and he teaches us, suffering is always for a cause. The Bible tells us that God doth not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. That simply means that God doesn't just give us these things, let these hard things come upon us to see us squirm and to see us battle and see us suffer. God does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. But no, and again, he's told that God is touched by our infirmities, and we, when we hurt, he hurts. You remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus, God says out of the sky, as he had that encounter with Paul, he says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And what is Paul doing? He'd been hurting the Christians, but God says, "You're hurting me. Why persecutest thou me?" And when the people of God suffer, God, Jesus suffers, our great high priest suffers. And that's why you and I ought to be very careful how we treat other people, because when we do that, we hurt the heart of God. And so this Daniel, he knew that he was going to have the troubles. And so what happens? He's taken a captive, and he has hard struggles, and he put in the prison and all of the rest of it. And it just made him stronger. So when he came to the real test, he was a veteran. You can't get to be a veteran laying on the couch and taking the easy way out. You have to get into the middle of the battle and get in the middle of the fray. And that makes you strong. That gives you character. And that makes you so you can stand up. And that's what Daniel did. He went, when he was taken a captive, he was put in a prison for a time, and he was given all kinds of things. He refused to bend. He refused to turn. And he was just getting himself stronger, stronger as a young person. He just built that character. And you can't have that except you go through the fire and the flood, and it only makes you stronger, see. And so there's a suffering is for a purpose. And so with Job, look what he went through. And look, how many times do people preach about Job when people are in trouble and they're having hard things and a lot of setbacks? And we talk about Job because, as you see, his example can help other people. And I know for a fact that we always pray for the persecuted church. And I know, I think I read these stories of the people being persecuted. Some of you probably worshiping with us right now, and it always makes me stronger. It always makes me see, oh, I can see how these people are doing it. I wonder if I could do it. And they become an inspiration to us. And people in the persecuted church, they can become inspiration to millions and millions of people. They don't know it. They don't realize it. Oh, but God is going to do that. And he can use it. He can use you. And so we have this big, beautiful picture, and God says about Daniel, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And so when we accept Jesus, and when we go to a total commitment to him, and we give him all that we've got, and we stand true in the battle, we're going to shine as the stars forever and ever. But God is going to use that witness. And I think of the people, again, I come back to the persecuted church, but we have there in all countries, we have persecution to some degree, but not to the point where we're put to death and we see our loved ones put to death. But when we do that, we're going to shine forever, going to stand forever. So the first step is to come have Jesus. You have to have Jesus. And you never have Jesus till you ask him into your heart. And you ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins. And you promise to turn from your sins and walk with Jesus. Turn from your sins. And then you thank him and go on your way rejoicing. And then the second thing you have to do, total commitment to God. Sell out to God. No, nothing held back. So you can write to us if you need literature. We'll send that. If you want to send us a gift, you send it to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Have to have your help if we're going to carry on. And so you just pray about it and help us as you can. And pray for us as we pray for you. And if you ever wonder about it, you can send it on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. You can send gifts from all over the world, and you can help us to carry this message, this wonderful Bible of God that's given us for the whole world. You can help us carry it on. So I want to pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray today for all who are on beds of sickness, all who are shut in, those who are suffering, Lord, those who are being persecuted. Pray for those who lost loved ones. Pray those who are lonely, Lord, and just help them to know that you love them and you'll be with them and help them. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we close now, let me give it again for the shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And also before we go, we have to tell you this. God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you, and you say, I'm a horrible person. I got terrible sins. God loves you. And he died for your sins and paid for your sins, but you have to come to him. God loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. For over 40 years, we've been preaching and carrying this message in word and in song. Come to Jesus. Find this wonderful Savior. And then I want you to know that I love you, and I just would do anything if I could. I would make the decision for you if I could, but I can't. Your wife would make for some of you husbands and parents for children, but it's all the ball is in your court. You need to make that prayer. Jesus, come into my heart and take away my sin. I'll turn from my sin and I'll follow you. You do that and you find that the love of God will cover all your sins for all time. And you'll be a part of that wonderful people of God. God bless you till next week. Blessing to all.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For 76 years as a pastor, his heart's desire was that everyone would know that Jesus loves them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin can have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus, we invite you to visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream this message again along with other 30 and 60 minute programs. Find a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter titled A New Song, explore devotionals and frequently asked questions, submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page, or leave us a comment or question. Our weekly program is also available on our website, Facebook page, Vimeo and YouTube channels, and on several podcast platforms. Please continue to pray for this ministry, and if the Lord leads you, consider helping us financially as we proclaim the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.